There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team, and the Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Digital cues and prices jumping at checkout can get in the way of you and a great seat. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. It's easy to use, and the Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. You can snag new ticket deals before anyone else by following your favorite teams, or get a panoramic view of the view from your seat, all right from the app. Plus, you can save even more with zone deals by choosing a section and letting Game Time choose the seats. No matter what, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying sports tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
This is the happy hour.
You guys want a happy hour?
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America.
Yeah, maybe I'll come for a couple.
Here are your hosts, Nick Sainert.
I am a huge guy.
And Enrique Alvarez Cleary.
C is for chunk.
Brought to you by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That is right. Welcome in. It is the happy hour for 2 days. For 2 days, it is the happy hour while Adam Carriker is out the rest of the week. And that means that it's Nick Sainert here and Rico over there. What's up, Rico?
Hello.
It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute, as the kids say.
I think the kids still say that. I don't know what the kids say.
As you can tell, we're excited to be back. Hopefully you guys are as well. 402-464-5685, the Honda of Lincoln hotline, and the Starter Heyman text line are open for you guys the entire show today, as well as the Starter Heyman Jewelers live video stream. That is Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Allo Channel 961. Got so much to talk about. Obviously, a lot of college football playoff games over the last 24 hours. There's a big one getting ready to start in a little less than 3 hours, and unfortunately had to get suspended because of all the tragic events in New Orleans. So our thoughts, obviously, with the entire community, and man, some scary stuff going on around the entire country. And so let's just hope for the best going forward as one. But once again, 402-464-5685. We have some exciting things to discuss over the course of the next two shows. We'll have plenty of Husker basketball conversation tomorrow because Nebraska hosts number 15 UCLA on Saturday at 1 p.m. But other than that, I mean, it's going to be a good and a quick show. It's going to go by really, really fast because, man, some of the football that we've seen so far, not only in bowl season, I even admitted that in the early days and early games of bowl season this year,
were you watching?
I wasn't paying attention to it. I wasn't paying attention to some of the lesser bowls, but now
you disgust.
I find myself gravitating towards the, like the guaranteed rate bowl on Monday. And obviously a part of that is because there's some bigger schools in there. But as somebody that always loved like the group of five, I feel myself transitioning to this.
Are you becoming an elitist?
I think I'm becoming an elitist.
Oh no, Nick, you're better than that. You're better than that. I love the small bowl games. I always pay attention to those. I might not give it my full attention, but those early December or those like mid-December, early December games, I love watching those. Again, with teams that you haven't watched all season, maybe some of the MACtion teams that you watch on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whenever the MAC decides to play their games during the regular season. Those are my favorite games. And obviously, you know my feelings about the Pop-Tart Bowl and how fantastic that is. I mean, that was two big-name teams that had qualms of getting into the college football playoff towards the end of the season. Didn't do enough to get in there, but that Pop-Tarts Bowl was electric. And I love all of the smaller bowl games because it's teams that maybe you don't hear of all that much. And also, if you think about it in this way, it could be some guys playing for those teams that could end up playing on those bigger teams that are playing on those New Year's Six bowls because they have a really a decent season. They have a big bowl game. They enter the transfer portal after the bowl game, and then they're playing at Alabama and Georgia and well, Ohio State after that.
That's what's so fascinating is because you can just tune into a even a playoff game. And I noticed this on the Ohio State and Oregon game. And then I also on the morning one of Arizona State and Texas, there was multiple recruits on both sides that had Arizona players who played last year at Texas. And then flip-flopping it, the ones that played or were playing on Texas were from Arizona State, and they were standing out. And I'm like, there's got to be some sort of pregame, like, I want to beat these guys so bad because this is my previous team. No matter whether or not the coach treats you well, like we always talk so much about that ad nauseum of coach treats you well, so if there's no hard feelings when you leave. That's part of the business nowadays. But still, there's still that underlying competitive piece in I think, all these athletes at this level that want to beat their old teams so, so bad. But
I mean, it was that defensive end from Arizona State that got the sack in the
first,
off the edge like a speed demon, got by the pulling guard and brought down Quinn Ewers. And like, it was at Texas last year. Look how excited he is to be playing for Arizona State right now. And then, you know, you get to see Jeff Sims sitting on the sideline looking at the tablet. Shout out to Jeff Sims making the playoffs.
Which I was reading an article, and this was actually really, really good, by Max Olson, used to be at The Athletic, now with ESPN. And he actually wrote an article about Jeff Sims, and Jeff Sims is going to come back for another season at Arizona State.
Look at that.
It's an article that he actually kind of dives deep into when he was at Nebraska, but then after Nebraska, he enters the portal and his phone was dead silent. I mean, let's be honest with it and let's be realistic here. Jeff Sims didn't have the greatest of years. And so that's what happens a lot of these times is some of these athletes can think, I went to X school and that school has a pretty notable name. And so my phone's going to automatically ring because if I was good enough to play at that school, then I'm good enough to play at other places. Well, when you have 2000 plus students thinking that or student athletes thinking that, guess what? The pool runs dry after a while and the phone does not ring as often. So through it all, I think Jeff Sims, he said it, he goes, listen, my phone wasn't ringing. I didn't know if I was going to be, you know, find a landing spot. And ultimately Kenny Dillingham, who just a day before yesterday's quarterfinal playoff game signed a 5-year extension with Arizona State. He ends up reaching out to Jeff Sims, and Jeff Sims comes in with a clear expectation and understanding that you're probably not going to get to play a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the backup to Sam Levitt, who is probably going to be on some Heisman boards at the start of next year.
Sam Levitt looked good.
Sam Levitt looked good.
Remember when there was a time when Sam Levitt almost came to Nebraska?
I would go as far as saying Nebraska was the favorite landing spot for Sam Levitt at a time.
That would have been, so that was at the time after Dylan had committed, correct?
Before.
Okay, so it was before Dylan was committed. Because it was with the Will Howard as well.
That's right. As soon as the transfer portal opened, Sam Levitt was one of the first quarterbacks Nebraska contacted. As soon as the portal opened, he was a freshman from Michigan State, and he, I know for a fact, was very interested in Nebraska. Then Nebraska also with Kyle McCord. I was having this conversation with Sipple, actually, when I filled in for Jake on Early Break a couple of days ago. I had the conversation with Sip. I said, man, think about Nebraska's quarterback approach last year in the portal. Mm-hmm. You had, number one, Sam Levitt, who played well in a playoff game yesterday as a younger guy.
He took his team to the playoffs.
But then you also had Kyle McCord, who breaks the single season ACC passing record and leads Syracuse to a 10-win season. And then also, then you ended up flipping a 5-star, and that's who your quarterback of the future is. And I had to preface it with, this is not in any way a knock on Dylan Raiola. I'm saying, but look at we always talk so often about the ability to identify talent. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age of college football, coaching staffs, coaches, recruiters, they can't miss. There's no margin for error because it's a win now and a results driven business. And if you don't win, and if your players aren't playing well because you're misidentifying talent, well then guess what? You might not be a coach for very much.
I'd like to say that Nebraska's offensive staff was sitting pretty with any of those three quarterbacks if they wouldn't have been able to flip Dylan and they would have got Sam Levitt or Kyle McCord. I think Nebraska would have been sitting pretty. And that's, look, shout out to, I know that it's not popular, but shout out to your former offensive coordinator for identifying that type of talent and attempting to bring them in and then having the ability to flip Dylan Raiola, and I understand it wasn't all him, but having the ability to flip a Dylan Raiola from Georgia to go to Nebraska. So shout out to Nebraska's offensive staff for eyeing the talent, seeing the talent that was available, and ending up with a extremely talented quarterback regardless.
Once again, 402-464-5685. Honda of Lincoln Hotline, the Starter Heyman text line open for you guys. The rest of the way here, we're here until 1 o'clock. We'll also be on the air tomorrow, Rico and myself, from 12 to 1 as Adam Carriker's out the rest of the week. Adam, back on Monday, though. So yeah. If you're tuning in and wishing that Adam was on the airwaves instead of us, we understand. However, he'll be back on Monday. So, all right. So once again, building off of that conversation though, Nebraska, they go out, they get another wide receiver through the portal, another Kentucky guy. It was also just released that he was cited for a misdemeanor offense over the course of the last couple of days. And that wide receiver that I'm talking about, from Kentucky, teammates with Dane Key, obviously was under the tutelage of Nebraska's current wide receivers coach, Dakell Shorts. Hardly Gilmore the fourth. And so not as much production certainly as Dane Key was, but still a younger guy that's going to have a couple of years remaining. And I know Austin's going to have this conversation on his show, so I don't want to take away his segment, but Nebraska has been very active in the wide receiver game and through the portal with 1 year guys, with 1 year remaining, whether that was, I mean, going back to Scott Frost with like Konovai Noah, whether that was Billy Kemp, whether that was this year with Jamal Banks, Samari Toure in years past, it doesn't matter.
Trey Palmer technically had multiple years, but you weren't expecting him to stay that long.
And while that there is value in that, there's also a lot of excitement with bringing in guys that have multiple years remaining. And sure, we're going to have pushback on the text line, or people are listening wherever they may be and saying, well, guys, you think about what we just talked about in the transfer portal. Guys don't stick around for more than 1 year or more than 2 years.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You can't operate, though, under that mindset of, all right, let's go get an Isaiah Hunter if you're Nebraska, with the understanding of next year, yeah, if he has a good year, he's going to move on. Mm-hmm. You can't operate under that mindset. You have to operate with the thought process of Isaiah Hunter, you can come in here and be a 3-year starter, and we're going to put you in the league. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset. So as
3-year guys, starter at worst, like it'd be that, great to have him for 2 years because yes, that second year he blew up.
And so as guys that cover the program or are around it and affiliated, like we have to operate under that mindset when we're talking to you guys as well. And so I guess when I look at wide receivers or skill positions, and is it alarming that Nebraska maybe hasn't gotten an offensive lineman in this class? Yeah, I think so. I'm okay with saying that as well. But let's also be realistic of what Nebraska's quarterback situation in the offense looks like. You have a younger quarterback who's, he takes that sophomore jump or that second year growth, then yeah, there's going to be suitors. Like there's going to be people that are interested in Dylan Raiola, and tampering's a thing, and tampering is alive and well. And Nebraska has to go out each offseason and continue to put the best talent available around Dylan Raiola.
And with that, if he has that sophomore jump and there's going to be tampering, that's another reason why you can't just go out and go in that win now mode and get guys that are only around for 1 year. You want to surround him with guys who, if he decides to stick around at Nebraska, he'll have for another year. He'll have for another 2 years. Guys that will grow with him. Guys that he can work with in practice during the season, outside of the season in the summer when they go down to Arizona or Texas, or they're staying here in Lincoln or going to Omaha and they're practicing. Guys who you're talking about and you're building that rapport with. Maybe they can even be roommates. Everybody talks about quarterbacks and wide receivers being roommates. They could be roommates and have that connection through the year as they grow together and learn together and can get Nebraska back to where Nebraska wants to be. You don't just want to go into a win now mode because, well, let me rephrase it. You don't want to just go and get those 1 year guys regardless of position, because guess what? If you get them for 1 year, you're going to have to fill that spot again. You're going to want to go out and get guys who maybe you missed out on recruiting the first time around, but they weren't happy with where they were going, or they see the type of improvement that your team is making and they want to now be a part of it. They didn't see it at first, but now they see it after a year and they want to come join you for multiple years as opposed to just coming in for 1 year, doing what they have to do and then going to the league.
There's some real intriguing names around this wide receiver room, and we'll get to some of the other groups on Nebraska's roster that they probably need to address because there are a few. Mm-hmm. There are certainly a few. But I feel like the comfort and the excitement around the wide receiver room has maybe shifted in a positive direction. Obviously, there were a lot of comments and feelings about Garrett McGuire. While he was coaching the wide receiver room, there was a lot of feelings about Marcus Satterfield when he was overseeing the entire entire offense. But through the portal, Nebraska's gotten some real intriguing pieces. And yeah, they've lost a couple along the way. Isaiah Nair's working through some logistical things. Looks like Louisville might be the landing spot. He's going to officially visit there today. Isaiah Nair is. And Jalen Lloyd, I think a lot of people got freaked out because of Jalen Lloyd. I'm not trying to downplay this here, but once again, going back to the facts that we know, Jalen Lloyd, very, very good track athlete before Evan Cooper and Matt Rhule got here a couple of years ago. That was going to be what Jalen Lloyd did, was just run track. And
there was one school that offered them both, and that was Texas Tech.
And so while I think we need to remember that the production wasn't there at its fullest and maybe what we expected, and I think people take it a little harder because he is a guy that came from Omaha West Side. However, going forward now, look at some of these names. It's an experienced guy in Dane Key, a guy that had production at Cal and Isaiah Hunter. Ja'Cory Barney Jr., I still think, is going to be the number one target in this offense for Dylan Raiola as a sophomore.
It seems like there's a really good connection there.
I think Sipple announced a couple of days ago that Carter Nelson is probably going to move back to tight end. And so they feel good about this wide receiver room. This feeling on the wideouts has kind of shifted. And maybe it's because there's a new voice in the room in mm-hmm. Dekel Shorts, the former Kentucky wide receivers coach. But through it all, like, Cortez Mills is one that we expect to probably make some strides in his first year in Lincoln. Isaiah Mosey, who's a former Oregon commit, probably going to make some strides and potentially see some time on Saturdays. Demetrius Bell was somebody that this staff was really excited about in the spring, but then got hurt in the spring game. And so now you bring in Hardly Gilmore IV from Kentucky, somebody that has a prior relationship with Coach Shorts, doesn't need to come in and play right away. That expectation Nebraska's got to get away from, of young guys having to come in and play right away, because less than 5 years ago, that was what was needed at offensive line, at skill positions, at quarterback. That they need to get away from that, and we're slowly starting to see them get to that point.
Those guys bringing those freshmen or those transfer redshirt freshmen, what have you, in, and forcing them onto the field right away because either you didn't have the talent or due to injuries, could have something to do with some of the delayed improvement for some of those guys, where they flashed really well as freshmen, but since they were forced into the fire and they didn't have time to learn and grow outside of it, that they weren't growing to the level that you thought that they could get to because of maybe some bad, what's the word I'm looking for? Bad things that they do all the time.
Tendencies
that grew and stuck with them, because look, we need you to do this now. So regardless of what's going on, you're going to have to go out here. You're going to have to attempt to get some yards, get some touchdowns, get some catches for us, regardless of how it looks.
We're also seeing a shift in what type of bodies they're recruiting at the wide receiver position specifically. You look around and Dane Key's a 6'3 guy. There's some interesting names in that room. Like a Quinn Clark is listed at 6'5". Mm-hmm. We know Carter Nelson's around 6'5". Keelan Smith, the son of obviously former Husker Neil Smith, is at 6'3". Jamal Banks was at 6'4". Like they're starting to recruit and shifting from this speed first mentality. While that's certainly valuable, and Ja'Cory Barney Jr. is certainly fitting underneath that mold, they are also valuing height and size. And I think we saw that in where Jamal Banks could be valuable. You look at a Dane Key. He's listed at 6'3", 209. Isaiah Hunter, I obviously don't have all these memorized quite yet.
I think I have his.
Isaiah Hunter is listed at 6'2", 210.
Harley Gilmore is 6'1", 178.
So these are now shifting from maybe even prior to Matt Rhule, what we saw, where it was 5'10", 5'11", type of guys with 180, 190 pounds.
The shifty guys.
There's something to be said about a guy at 6'3", 215 can actually move. Mm-hmm. Just they move in a different way than a Ja'Cory Barney would. And there's value in both of them if utilized the correct way. Nebraska, I think, is going to be in a spot next year offensively where Dylan Riley is going to throw the ball a whole lot, obviously. But on top of that, I think you'd expect to see maybe Dylan shed a few pounds or change his body a little bit and utilize his legs a little bit more going forward. I think that's an element that we saw 2 years ago that Matt Rhule really enjoyed, but they weren't able to really implement it that much this next season. And Emmett Johnson at running back, it's almost like I would ask the texters this 402-464-5685, excuse me, as we go to break. What side, with the way that things are now, are you more confident in? Because I think if you ask people at the end of last season, and if we were a year ago on January 2nd, 2024, instead of on January 2nd, 2025, people are going to say defense. There was much more experience there. And I think there was just overall excitement and comfort in Tony White. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like it's completely shifted. I feel like it's completely shifted into people are going to say Nebraska is going to be able to score 30 plus a game next year. And the defense is just going to have to hold somebody to less than 20.
I might push back on that a little bit.
Let's talk about it when we come back. 402-464-5685. Which side going with the things? And obviously it's a fluid situation. They're probably going to add some bodies defensively. They've been active in the defensive back room. Andrew Marshall, the kid from Idaho, is obviously a part of the Huskers. There's a UCLA defensive back that's going to be visiting. He should be arriving to campus later on today if he's not already here, and will be here through Saturday. So there's certainly some places defensively for John Butler, the new defensive coordinator for Nebraska, that they're going to have to attack at. But which side, as things stand now, where are we at? Cautiously optimistic, however you want to categorize it, let us know. Offense, defense, we dive in, give our thoughts. We also break down college football playoff. We talk about Texas ASU. We're going to preview Georgia and Notre Dame coming up in a little over 2.5 hours from New Orleans. We'll talk all that and more on a special edition of the Noon Hour. Appreciate you guys joining us on your lunch break. It's the happy hour. Nick Sainert here, Rico there on 93.7 The Ticket.
Follow Nick and Enrique on Twitter at @Nick_Sainert and at Radio Rico AC. More of Happy Hour is next on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.